Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us for this, our very special 100th episode.
He's a nonprofit fundraiser in Washington, D.C., and he wrote a winning essay. It's Belly Fedweiss.
Yay!
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we're so delighted to have you.
Thank you for doing it. Thank you for writing this. And I should say, a lot of people wrote essays. It was not an easy decision.
No, it was not. We had so many.
But you were not a clear-cut winner. Sorry to burst your bubble.
There was drama.
Was good. A lot of fighting, teeth gnashing.
Yes, friendships were ended. Friendships were mended. Yes.
Stronger than ever, some would say.
It's what makes it stronger, yes.
The power of essays.
Have you won an essay contest before?
No, never.
Really?
Never.
It's never too late.
Yeah, no, it was, I got your email and I was shocked. I was pretty floored.
Well, it was fabulous. How does it... have you won anything before?
Well,
like a contest?
I've played bingo quite a bit and I've won bingo several times.
Oh,
bingo,
yes.
Like the round 12 blackout bingo $300 grand prize.
Like in a casino?
At an American Legion in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
where like a casino.
It's $12 to play and $50 per round in cash prizes.
That sounds great.
Wow. Yeah.
And very strong drinks. Strong drinks.
Yeah. You know, that helps.
That's what you're there for.
There used to be a casino by my brother's house that would do bingo. And it was like fun because it was cheap, but like your money went a long way because it takes a good 30 minutes to an hour to get through all the rounds and everything. But everyone towards the end, like of a round, everyone, it feels like you're so close. Like, oh, I'm only two things away. But then also half the room feels like that. So you're going, oh my God, oh my God. And then someone goes, bingo. And then all these people go, fuck. And it's so funny to have that ramp of
that thrill of being one away is what I play for usually.
Chasing the dragon.
Exactly. So yeah, I got to yell bingo when I got your email.
Wow. A full circle moment.
Absolutely.
What does it, when you say you're a nonprofit fundraiser, does that mean you work for a specific charity or are you like a fundraiser on hire?
I work for a specific charity in DC and I've worked in a few different places over the years, currently working with an organization that helps seniors get legal service.
Oh,
that's so
John,
nice.
Maybe that's something you want to look into.
Oh, yes. Please give me your card when this is over. I always need legal services.
You did say in your essay that a previous guest told you
Oh,
that you sound like you're in a musical.
Yeah. So guest? I saw Nicole Byer live when she came to DC.
She's a delight.
And we waited in the line. I was with my friends Laura and Miranda. We waited in the line. We got to meet her. And instead of just saying hello, I said, "I'm Billy." And she said, "You talk like you're in a musical." And it was the greatest greeting I've ever been a part of. Instantly doubled over in laughter. She's
you did sound very like a River City, Iowa townsfolk when you said that.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Oklahoma.
There you go.
That's a classic musical.
You said also, speaking of bingo, that you made a Two Old Queens themed bingo game.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So my friends who introduced me to this podcast had never seen Female Trouble. Mm. And we had talked about doing a virtual movie night together. And I went through and I just like wrote down a bunch of categories as I listened to an episode. And then, I mean, I'm kind of nerdy. You might have guessed that because I won an essay contest. Figured out how to randomize the things, laid them out in bingo cards, and then emailed them out in advance.
Wow,
that's fun.
And it did, with Female Trouble, it did not take long to get to a bingo. It is like immediate.
20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, if that.
Yeah.
Was there a prize?
I think being able to pick the next movie was the prize.
Smart.
The free space was not the movie Cruising.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. This sounds amazing. Speaking of cruising, or okay, ambling down a road, we would say.
All right, very nice, very nice.
Today, the movie you won with an essay in submitting in praise of The Wizard of Oz. John, what's the deal with The Wizard of Oz?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Wizard of Oz. It was directed primarily by Victor Fleming, with additional work from Richard Thorpe and King Vidor. It has a screenplay by Noel Langley, Florence Ryerson, and Edgar Wolfe, with songs by Edgar Yip Harburg and Harold Arlen, based on the children's fantasy novel The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. And it tells the story of Dorothy Gale, a young girl who is transported to a surreal landscape and kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again. It stars Judy Garland, Frank Morgan, Ray Bolger, Burt Lahr, Jack Haley, Billy Burke, Margaret Hamilton, Charlie Grapewin, Pat Walsh, Claire Blandick, and Terry as Toto. It was released on August 25th, 1939, and is often considered to be one of the greatest films of all time. Frank Nugent of the New York Times called the film a delightful piece of wonderworking, which has the youngster's eyes shining and brought a quietly amusing gleam to the wiser ones of the oldsters. Variety critic John C. Flynn, no relation, he spells his last name differently, predicted that the film was likely to perform some record-breaking feats of box office magic, noting some of the scenic passages are so beautiful in design and composition as to stir audiences by their sheer unfoldment. Roger Ebert chose it as one of his great films, writing that The Wizard of Oz has a wonderful surface of comedy and music, special effects and excitement, but we still watch it decades later because its underlying story penetrates straight through the deepest insecurities of childhood, stirs them, and then reassures them. It was nominated for 5 competitive Oscars, winning 2, Best Music and Best Song for Over the Rainbow, and Judy Garland was given an Honorary Academy Juvenile Award for her work in both Wizard of Oz and Babes in Arms. And that is the deal with The Wizard of Oz.
Wow. So, Billy, you were asked to write an essay to pick a movie. Why The Wizard of Oz?
So, when I was a child, I was obsessed with the movie Clue and The Wizard of Oz. I watched them on a constant obsessive loop. Before he could even read, I could identify the VHS tapes by their color and would watch them again and again and again. And like all well-adjusted four-year-olds, I would go back and forth between pretending that I was a cold-hearted murder detective and that I was Glinda the Good Witch in her beautiful pink dress. And I spent the first half of this podcast as a fan thinking Clue is the gayest movie ever. It has the, you know, it's broken glass, non-traditional murder weapons. All these things were added. And then it came in number 2 at its time, which made me very happy. And it's well beyond time that you rate the other movie of the obsession of my childhood, the really like going back and watching it again, the gayest movie I can even think of, especially considering it was from 1939.
So we're just working out some of your childhood issues.
Exactly.
That's the whole deal.
That's right.
it was a helpful prompt.
Fair enough. How many times have you seen it, would you say?
I mean, I literally, if there are 365 days in a year, probably.
I believe there are. 1,100
checks for the most part.
Well, over a thousand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Over 1,000.
I mean, when I say I watched it on an obsessive loop.
What's the first line?
Wow.
Ooh.
The lion roaring, probably.
I'm trying to think now.
It's Dorothy running down the road. Right? Like,
go run over to Aunt,
come, like,
there you go.
And then she gets to see Auntie Em.
I'm so sorry. That was not nice of me.
I'm making our guests feel welcome, Mark.
I'm so sorry.
Most of the viewings were before I could read.
Pre-language.
So, sure. The memories aren't as.
I mean, I can't remember the movie I watched last night, and it was Wizard of Oz. So we're gonna be in trouble. John, what's your history with the Wizard of Oz, the old Wiz
as it was? Well, and I mean, like most people, I could not tell you the first time I saw it. I remember watching it with my family once a year on TV, and it was always like a big fun event. But also for me, Wizard of Oz is actually the first show I did as a young child. Like one afternoon I auditioned, my older sister was auditioning for it, and I went along with her. She did not get cast, but I did. Oops, sorry, Becky. But it was a community college was doing a production of Wizard of Oz. And so this production, you would have hated it, Mark, because the show was over 3 hours long.
Why?
Because they added so many other things to it. So in this version of Wizard of Oz,
it needs more.
Yeah, the movie is an hour and a half, and our production was 3.5 hours, twice as long. So there were like scenes with a bunch of munchkins that happened before Dorothy comes out of her house, like after she first line. So there's like a munchkin mayor, munchkin farmer, and then there's a whole bunch of lines for a munchkin. So all of those lines for a munchkin were given to me. And so I was like, created my own character. And I might've talked about this before, but the costume that I wore that they put me in was like a purple judge's robe with a hot pink cape that went over, that was like off one shoulder, because this was like sort of Flashdance-y era. I had shoes that had like a little like curly toe at the end. Sure. And so my friends and I, been watching the video back of it, we realized that the character I played was actually the faggot munchkin. But it was like the first show I did.
Name of your memoir, I believe.
It actually is the name of an album that I've recorded of stories. I'm not
there you
joking.
Go.
That is absolutely true.
That's a perfect So share the link.
I think it's out of print, but if I can find it, if you want it, email Tool Queens and I'll send it to you. But it is the show was like what made me fall in love with theater. And so of course the show, in addition to being like a wonderful movie that is so iconic and has a wonderful place in people's heart, it has a special place in my heart just as like that experience in that show. So I love Wizard of Oz. I think it's absolutely magical. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Wizard of Oz?
I was never like obsessed with, I obviously like saw it a ton because one of those things, whenever it was on TV, you just watch it. But I was never like obsessed with it, I would say. But I too was in a children's theater production. Of
nice.
It.
Yes. And who did you play?
The Wizard.
Of course you did.
Bit of a charlatan. But I did for a time get really into, there's a Wizard of Oz themed like slot machine on a... for iPhone, for like phones, for mobile.
Gotcha. Sure,
I got really into that for a while.
What was it about this slot machine on the mobile, as you called it?
That
you were so taken by.
Oh, I just have an addictive, when it comes to games, I get addicted to them. And like,
the
I
little
have to
rush.
Delete them. Yeah, yeah. The little rush of give me.
Was there something specific about this, or was it just Absolutely a slot machine not. With just pictures from Wizard of Oz?
You would get levels. It would progress along the story.
You would follow, different slot machines. Evolve on the yellow brick road, as it were. Which is what people want from slot machines, definitely.
Absolutely.
Right?
They used to have, before Disney bought them, they had Star Wars slot machines before Disney. And I did, I won like $300. I blew up the Death Star once.
Look at
Very
you.
Very exciting.
Uh-huh.
Not to brag. but Wizard of Oz is great. What's not to like? But is it the gayest movie ever?
Ooh, we shall see.
I know. Billy, as you may or may not know, but I'm pretty sure you do, we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at a certain point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. Most people don't know what that means, but you might. So that's a fun change of pace. My mother had no idea what we were talking about. Still doesn't know what a podcast is.
Same with my mother too, yes.
So normally I go through the current top five gayest movies ever, but since this is our 100th episode, this is our current rankings of the 99 gayest movies ever. So I'm gonna
buckle up.
All right, tied with the 16.10% at 99 and 98, it's Good Will Hunting and Where Harry Met Sally. 16.12%, Kramer versus Kramer. 16.44%, What About Bob? 19.07%, the 1995 Sabrina. 24.33%, The Third Man. 26.60%, Just Friends. 28.60%, Julia and Julia. 29.45%, Wayne's World. 31.08%, Supergirl. 32.43%, Parasite. 33.23%, The Secret of Nim, 35.45%. Submarine, 36.18%. Raiders of the Lost Ark, 37.05%. Pulp Fiction, 38.70%. Hoosiers, 39.65%. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, 39.89%. Topsy-Turvy, 39.93%. Ghost, 39.93%. The Wedding Singer, 40.42%. Mission Impossible Fallout, 40.73%. Eat, Pray, Love, 41%. Beaches, 41.34%. Smile, 41.96%. The Talented Mr. Ripley, 42.47%. Toy Soldiers, remember them, John? 42.84%. The Faculty, 44.60%. Air Bud, that was fun. 44.80%. Tourist Trap, Mannequins, 44.96%. Windows, 45.49%. The Titanic, or just Titanic as it's known among fans, 45.92%. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, gross, 47.25%. The Kids Are All Right, 47.69%. The 2018 Suspiria, 47.80%. Scrooge, 49.86%. The Shining, 50.43%. Chicago, 50.78%. Berserk, 51.44%. The Family Stone, this might have been a bad idea, but I'm committed now. 51.70%. Lady Bird, 51.83%. The Brood,
51. What number are these movies? You're just giving us percentages.
I'm just giving percentages. All right. I thought about that about 15 in. I should just be saying the numbers. But what are we going to do? We're there. We're in it.
We're here. It's happening.
I committed. It's hard when you commit. Good. And now we're talking about this. 52.39%. This is a 57th. I will now transition to the place 57. Alien Covenant, 56. Scream, 55. Pieces of April, 54. Beetlejuice, 53. Gremlins, 52. Waiting for Guffman, 51. The Sound of Music, 50. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, 49. Midsommar, 48. Midnight Madness, 47. Last Holiday, 46. Showgirls, 45. Mermaids, 44. Adam's Family Values, 43. I, Tonya, 42. 9 to 5, 41. Fried Green Tomatoes, 40. The Silence of the Lambs, 39. Eating Out, 38. Ginger Snaps, 37. Die Hard, 36. Bring It On, 35. Mean Girls, 34. The Man from U.N.C.L.E., 33. Meet Me in St. Louis, 32. Hackers, 31. Best of Show, 30. Cruising, 40, 29. Formerly number one forever, The Muppets Take Manhattan, 28, Top Gun, 27, Armageddon, 26, Face Off, 25, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, 24, 300, 23, Anti-Mame, 22, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, 21, Interview with the Vampire, 20, Little Shop of Horrors, 19, The Beastmaster, 18, Batman Forever, 17, Labyrinth, 16, Edward Scissorhands, 15, Cats, 14, Funny Girl, Block, 13, Mommy Dearest, 12, Terms of Endearment, 11, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born, 10, Strictly Ballroom, 9, Grease 2, 8, The Ten Commandments, 7, Clue, 6, The Lost Boys, 5, Death Becomes Her, 4, The Apple, 3, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, 2, The Bride of Frankenstein, number 1, current reigning champ with a 94.83%, it's Female Trouble.
Yes, Mark.
All right.
Good job. Very nice. Treat yourself to a cigarette after that.
Let me tell you.
So, Billy, after all of that, where do you think The Wizard of Oz is going to land?
I don't know. Can I hear him again? I'm not sure. I wanted to beat.
You're not sure. You wrote an essay.
I wanted to beat Meet Me in St. Louis for sure.
Sure.
Okay. That,
Personal vendetta?
Yeah, you know, Judy Garland versus Judy Garland. Icon versus
Icon. I mean, story of her life.
I mean, yeah. The SmackDown to end all SmackDowns.
But I think it's going to be in the top five. It depends on what happens with the wheel.
The wheel's fickle.
The wheel could go, it could help, it could hurt. But it,
if you get felt,
top five.
You're doing
I'm not worried
well.
About felt.
No, felt is very good if you get
oh,
felt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. Let's find out. So this let's first group of categories are the canon categories. For these, we're each going to give the score between 0 and 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. So, Billy, what would you give The Wizard of Oz on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
So this one's a little tough, but... two things about actual gay characters. First of all,
please.
You can't tell me that there are 150 people living in Munchkin Land dressed like they are, and right. none of them are gay.
Those clothes. Yeah,
there yeah. are definitely a smattering of gay people in Munchkin Land. Same with the Emerald City. There are definitely. Some gay people there. There's no doubt about that. But the other thing that I've been thinking about a lot, because I have been thinking about this movie a lot since I got sure. your email,
mm-hmm.
The Cowardly Lion.
Definitely.
Sure. It's like a feat.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. You know, in the 1930s they couldn't have an out gay character. They would always like code people with certain right. things that the viewers would be able to tell, like, oh, I see his story, you know. And the Cowardly Lion, he's
mothers whispering to their fathers, don't tell the kids.
Absolutely.
Anyways, you know, glad the depression's over.
He refers to himself as a dandelion and a sissy.
With a flick of the wrist when he yeah. says it too.
And mm-hmm. he's got the bow in his hair by the time he gets to Oz. Sure.
Definitely.
What do we think of the three farmhands in Kansas?
Possibly, sure. I mean, here's my argument. The phrase, someone is a friend of Dorothy, is universally acknowledged to mean that that person is a homosexual. So I think an argument could be made for the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, that these are all gay characters.
Well, people have said like the four, Dorothy and like the three are all like, you know, a metaphor for like chosen family and like the people you find right. along. And then ultimately you don't need to change who you are to find mm-hmm. self-acceptance.
Exactly.
But I think the friend of Dorothy, there's also some debate about whether Dorothy Parker was also referred to that too at the same time. It's true. It came up. I read the Wikipedia entry for like people were saying
and
that
Dorothy.
Around. Yeah. Cause she did hang out with the gays. Yeah.
That Algonquin Round Table.
Yeah. I also thought the Lollipop Guild was kind of like performing masculinity.
It could be like a bunch of drag kings, really.
Could be, for all we know.
That's true.
What's going on there?
What exactly are they licking in this guild of theirs?
Yeah. So, Billy, what do you want to give The Wizard of Oz in actual gay characters?
I mean, it's a little ambiguous, but I'll say 65.
65.
I'm going to go 80.
80, based on your feelings.
The feelings, I think the monkeys, the winkies.
The monkeys? What about
the
monkeys?
Monkeys? Come on, all those sharp little vests they're wearing, come on.
They weren't chosen to, they didn't have a choice in that. It's like they're like little boys in mommy son pageants.
You don't know that, you're just projecting yourself.
We can assume, I think. I'll give it a 50.
Okay.
I'll give it an average of 65, which is about 2.33 points higher than Waiting for Guffman. All right. How about this next one? I think you're going to clean up here. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Wizard of Oz and just come up with a book of ideas? Anything? Racking their brain.
There's nothing interesting about The Wizard of Oz and what people are wearing.
Visually speaking, no, not at all.
Yeah, nothing. Didn't Drag Race have a whole episode that was about The Wizard of Oz? I mean,
I don't know. I know one of the, Ellie Diamond in the last season of UK had like one costume that did all, it did... Scarecrow, Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. It was like in a series of reveals.
Oh.
Didn't Crystal really Method do like a Tin Man look at one point?
I think some, and like Tina Burner did, but you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the dresses, the witches, the dresses, the munchkins, everything about this movie is drag. I'm going to say 100.
I was also thinking somebody must have been like the tornado at some point.
Sure. I mean, in The Wiz, talking ballet of the tornado.
The what's that?
The Wiz. The musical, The Wiz.
Heard of it.
Yeah.
One thing I also like that I noticed is like making a crown out of a flower pot. Like, oh, that's like the 99 cent store challenge.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Sure.
Drag on a dime. Yeah. Drag I will go 100% as well. I think this movie just inspires you to just be fabulous.
I mean, still to this day, like these looks are like, also just the combination of them together.
definitely
before, you know. Mm-hmm. Giving it 100, tying it with the apple. Okay.
Nice.
Interesting. But about 73.23 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
All right, the next category, gay icons. How are you going to rate the Wizard of Oz on gay icons?
I mean, the Judy Garland at her gayest. The friends we mentioned before, the Friends of Dorothy. I don't think that in the 30s there could have been a bigger gay icon, the 30s and sort of the decades that followed, than Judy Garland.
Yeah, I mean, like, and even in a Judy Garland alone for me is enough to make it 100. But then you also put Margaret Hamilton in there, and her performance is also like, I know we can't go more than 100, but I think if there ever was a time to make an exception, this would be it. We're not going to make it, although we could.
Why? Then everything's meaningless. Then chaos happens.
You're
then
right.
Chaos.
Mark. Uh-huh. Chaos reigns throughout the land. But I mean, this is 100. I mean, it's Judy Garland in her most iconic role.
Tough break for fans of A Star Is Born.
I think they're okay. I think if they're a fan of Star Is Born, they're also a fan of Wizard of Oz. I think that's
there's gotta be somebody who's like, oh, that's kid stuff.
There's a big middle to that Venn diagram, though.
Wasn't she in what's that, like courtroom witness for the persecution?
The movie is Judgment at Nuremberg, just to be.
I've never seen that, but it'd be fun to see her in like a more adult.
She's great. Sure. Think about Judy Garland, she could act. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Multi-hyphenate, they would say. giving it 100, which is about, I'm going to stop doing a 62.33 points higher than Lady Bird. All right. Let's do your arguments now. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form in The Wizard of Oz?
It's not very horny. There is a part.
In my notes, it's blank.
Yeah, mine
there's
too.
So when Dorothy meets the Tin Man, there's a very slow pan up. She finds his foot, and then the camera goes very slowly up to the Tin Man, revealing his whole form.
Tarantino-esque.
If that's what you like.
I love starting at the feet and working my way up.
I love a boxy torso, a round barrel torso.
And then the only other thing that I saw was that the people who are buffing when they're doing their makeovers.
Yeah, yeah.
They have the men who are doing that have their arms exposed.
The scandal of it all.
Oh, nice. Oh, hello.
I mean, that is a very sad.
Talk about the merry old land of Oz.
Upper arms exposed. This is not for children. So what do you want to give it then? Yeah, I didn't have any. I thought this is a pretty unhorny movie. Yeah, intentionally.
I'd say 20.
A 20. Very generous.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the scarecrow. Like we see. No. Yeah, it's I'm not even gonna try. I'll go 23.
23 for nothing?
For those arms.
The arms.
Come on.
Remember, his entry and his notes is blank. He's giving it 23. I'm giving it a 2. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. It's going to make up so many points. Don't worry. It can't sweep everything, obviously. All right, the next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
Speaking of a good category for this movie.
Here we go.
I mean, come on. Here we go.
Glinda coming in her little pink bubble.
She's a bubble.
All the times the evil witch pops in a cloud of red smoke.
Mm-hmm.
The cowardly lion and how he comes roaring out of the forest.
Yeah,
definitely. I think the first time we see Miss Gulch with that iconic dun 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 the theme playing, that's a good one. When they enter Oz, it's a whole big number with a horse of a different color.
Also, don't you think arriving in a house that kills a witch is pretty much entrance with a pizzazz?
That's got some pizzazz.
Hacha. Yeah.
You murdered somebody when you got here. Ready to make your. They know exactly who you are for the minute you come out of that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, the whole munchkins come out.
Wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Seeing Emerald City.
The first time you see the wizard.
Yeah.
That's also pizzazzing.
That's right. Walking down that hallway.
Do you think, Glinda's in her bubble? Does that mean she only gets her news from Facebook? Funny.
Cute. Topical.
So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz? Sometimes I move things from the camp list and put them into different categories.
100.
100.
Yeah, I'll go 100 as well. I just think everyone has their big number. And also, like, even the characters, like, it's not like at the moment of their entrance, but each one of them is like, here's my, if I only had a heart, if I only had a brain, if I only, you know, like, they've,
you know,
all
the thing
got
I
it.
Noticed this time, like, in Kansas, they do a good job with, I forget their names, but like, the Scarecrow and the Lion have a, where they demonstrate their brains and they demonstrate their courage, like, on the farm. But when it comes to the Tin Man, he just says, they're going to build a statue of me. Like, well, that's not, what is the, the whole, like.
I think because he is a tin, like, as a Tin Man, he
I guess,
could
but
be
that's
the,
not
like,
demonstrating
the statue of the Tin
his
Man.
Want in the Atlanta.
That one is admittedly weaker.
So
than
I read
others.
Online
right.
that they, so they ended up having to cut like 11 minutes from the movie. And one of the things that
tell
they
that to
cut,
John's children's production.
Well, yeah.
We didn't,
yeah,
we put him back
right
in. Whatever
in.
They
so
cut,
you may
we
remember
had.
From the children's production that the Tin Man earlier in the scene was talking about how he was building a device that was going to track a tornado.
Oh, right.
But they cut that. But then they have Auntie M coming over and saying, I saw you fiddling with that machine. And then randomly he says, they're going to make a statue of me. And it makes no sense because they don't have, they cut out that like initial.
Right.
Right.
But even that isn't about like, you would think he'd be like, I'm in touch with my emotion, or don't be afraid to express what you're feeling, like something
true.
Like that.
True.
All right, giving it 100. All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. Some like Spitfire ladies in this movie.
I mean, all of them.
I mean,
all of them. Mrs. Gulch, the Wicked Witch, even Glinda is like, I'm not going to take your shit and I'm going to be really nice about it.
Right.
Right. Yeah, she's real passive aggressive.
Total
shady about it. Some of those trees who throw the apples, they're women too. They're not so nice.
Auntie M, she runs that farm.
Yep. She said something like, I see a lot of Jabberwocky happening around here. I was like, what did she say?
Who brought up Lewis Carroll? Yeah.
Probably me. I did think though, for all her like, the witch is like fair, like she is like obviously a striking image and a great performance, but she's like pretty ineffective the entire movie. She doesn't really do anything. She just shows up and says, I'm going to do something. But in the end, she like, she doesn't really have much influence on the plot.
But like everyone around her is
the
so
only thing they're
her.
Affected, but she doesn't really do anything. Like she even captures Dorothy and says, well, I'm going to leave you here for an hour and then I'll come back and kill you later. Like just kill her. And then she misses when she tries to burn the Scarecrow.
But she had to be careful because like how they had to do it delicately or it would ruin
just,
the spell.
She's like a very, the flying monkeys do. Toto has more impact on the plot than the witch.
I'm not sure that that's
true. Toto
leads
a lot of
them to where Dorothy is. Yeah, the witch makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, but the witch kidnaps them and they have to go get the witch's broom.
She only kidnaps Dorothy. Yeah. The monkeys kidnap Dorothy.
Because the witch tells
I'm
them
I'm just saying, she could be a lot more effective.
I think she's plenty effective.
I want more. What do you want to give this for Hell on Heels?
I mean, a 98?
98.
I'm going full 100.
100. I'll go 99. Just want her a little more effective, be a little more empowered. I'm rooting for the witch. She's my favorite character.
Have you seen Wicked?
No. I've not seen Wicked.
I read the so book. Angry. Well, I got through halfway through the book and I was like, this is so depressing.
Well, the musical is very
the
different
book
than the
was
book.
Like dour. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like fun, funny, kind of like a, what's his face? Guy who wrote Discworld. Terry Pratchett. I thought that was going to be like wry English kind of humor. Nope.
It's more an allegory, political allegory. Yawn.
Speaking of yawning, macabre. How macabre is the Wizard of Oz?
I didn't.
There's a lot of macabre stuff in here.
I don't remember a lot of macabre things from my childhood, but then rewatching it, I was floored by how much macabre stuff there is.
Right?
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
They almost lose the chicks.
I mean, right off the start, they don't know how many of them there are. They can't count them. They're constantly losing track, and you know how stressful that is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Threatening to destroy Toto. That's like the scariest part of the whole thing. I think Mrs. Gulch has always been scarier to me than the witch. Because Gulch feels like someone you could encounter. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Sure.
How the Scarecrow kept getting disemboweled. Like when you first
they fucking him, rip him apart.
Crows, but like just in the beginning, crows are just eating his innards. And he's like, oh, you know, this happens to me. I'm just this is a trauma.
Body, like Cronenberg-esque body horror.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Haunted Forest.
The Haunted
Everything
Forest.
Everything at the Witch's Castle is very macabre. All
very
the,
fun.
Very dark and dreary.
It really reminded me of the Snow White ride at Disneyland. It had that like tone.
Oh yeah. Well, initially the take on the Wicked Witch was more of a Snow White, Evil Queen vibe, and it was a different actress. And then when they changed it, she left the movie. She said, "Well, I don't want to do this anymore." So they got Margaret Hamilton. Smart move to that lady whose name I won't even pretend I remember. Whatever happened to her?
Right. There's also something macabre about the wizard out of nowhere saying, "Yes, I will grant all four of your wishes, but first you have to kill this unrelated person."
Yeah, give me his broom. Yeah.
Yeah,
turn into John Wick all of a sudden.
Yeah. And the witch telling Dorothy, "First I'm going to kill your friends and dogs so you can watch them die, and then I'm going to kill you," was just like very dark.
Pretty dark. I would I don't want Wicked. I want a prequel movie about like the Munchkin Coroner. What is it? What are the like autopsies he's doing? How do people die at Munchkin Land? I just feel there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to explore.
Was he explored in the childhood version, John?
Well, it's funny. On the very last performance of that show, the actress who played the Munchkin Coroner, she just didn't show up. I guess she forgot it. So I had to go on and sing the coroner.
Do you remember it?
In that part. Of course, as coroner, I must have her. I've thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead.
Wow. You're welcome. For free.
Wow.
For free. No extra money. But also, like, there's also a lot of macabre stuff around The Wizard of Oz, like the tale of, like, the suicidal munchkin.
That is not true, though. In, like, that is bendy bump.
It is not true. I know that, but it is part of it. Also, the day that Judy Garland died, there was a tornado in Kansas.
Sure.
And the fact that you can sync it up with Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, there's something weird
about that. Is that macabre,
macabre about that?
Or like mystic?
They overlap.
That's macabre.
They don't work Black against Sabbath, each other. Maybe.
There were also a lot of people who got, like actors who got burned in the process of making this movie.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's the 30s. And I feel like we only lay out, there's always these facts about, like, there was a thing I saw, like, is Wizard of Oz the most cursed film because of all these accents? Like, no, it's a very popular movie. So every nook and cranny and story of it has, there's probably thousands of accidents on other movies we've never heard of. That you're never going to hear because nobody cares about those.
Right.
Movies.
Everything has been so picked over in this movie.
Yeah. It was the 30s. I can't imagine how they treated Toto. I don't want to know.
I want to live in ignorance when it comes to Toto, please.
Yeah, he's the cutest.
I also read that the original man who played the Tin Man had to be hospitalized because
Buddy Ebsen.
Because the
metallic paint.
Yeah, the makeup was making him very ill.
Yeah, he had to be in an iron lung for like 11 days.
Ironic.
So this is a 100 for macabre.
A 100, one of the darkest movies you've ever seen.
That's right. Right up there with the Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 97.
97, the bleakness. How will we ever recover? This is up there with Salo, 100 Days of Sodom. I'll give it a 77. Give an average of 91.33. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting here?
It's extremely dramatic.
It's extremely dramatic.
We get the sun breaking through the clouds during Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, Over the
Thank
Rainbow.
Thank you. That's one of the most dramatic pieces of lighting that I noticed.
Very Christian. Yes.
When they're like approaching Emerald City and there's just light like shining off of it. That's very dramatic. The wizard himself, all that smoke and weird lighting and fire and stuff and all that.
There's a lot of dramatic lighting too, like when the monkeys are kidnapping Dorothy and they have like those birds, the owls with the red.
Yes, those weird vultures with the red
eyes.
That's
the part that's very like Snow White, a Disneyland ride to me, when you see like the gear where their head is like pivoting.
right.
They didn't know HD was coming when they made this.
And even like, and when the three main male characters are trying to go to the castle to rescue Dorothy, lots of dramatic lighting there too.
Definitely.
Around that process.
And like looking in the crystal ball, seeing Aunt Em and all that.
There's a lot of uplighting too with the wizard. There's that green uplighting that's very dramatic and very, you know, grand.
Definitely.
As befits the throne room.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for dramatic lighting?
98.
98.
I'll go 92.
92. I'm going to go 70. I think there's a lot of it that's just like regular studio light. There are those moments where they like play with it, but for a lot of it, this lighting is kind of the same in every scene, just like bright and overlit.
I understand what you're saying.
Great. Give it an average of 86.67, which is 0.34 points higher than the Ten Commandments. That might be the biggest competition now that I think about it. Until we get to this category, vibrato. How would you rate The Wizard of Oz on vibrato?
So as always, in addition to literal vibrato, we mean anytime they take a moment, give it a little extra, zhuzh it up. It doesn't need it, but they give it to you and you like it.
Well, on the literal vibrato alone, I would say John Wick 3 is to broken glass what this movie is to vibrato. It is just hitting you over the head. Judy Garland, Glinda, the people in Munchkin Land, the Lullaby League, the Lollipop Guild, the coroner. You could almost barely understand him. There was so much vibrato.
I think if I Were King of the Forest is huge.
Vibrato.
I feel like the 30s for vibrato, what is like, you know, melisma. What do you call it? Was that the right term?
Melisma, yeah.
Melisma was like for the 90s with like Christina Aguilera. Like they just love vibrato. Like couldn't get, like every like someday my prince will come. It's all like, they love a trill.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was new. Like, oh, we discovered this new thing. It's a trendy now. I don't know. It's like, why is it hot? Everything in the 30s is like vibrato. It had to be new at some point.
Did they invent singing in the 30s? Is that what happened?
At some point. It's a stylistic choice. Also think like this. I love just the thing I love about the movie is like how fake everything, like it looks fake the best kind, but it's fake, but so like beautiful. It's like so well designed and like just gorgeous. Absolutely. Like even the farm is like the fact that it's sepia tone and not black and white. It's like better than a reality. So many poppies too. Like when they're running through the poppies, there are so, and those are, I think they're all fake. I have no idea. But somebody had to make those or put them down. Even if they're real, somebody had to put those. That's so many poppies.
That poor set department.
And Frank Morgan playing five different roles.
Oh, sure.
That's vibrato. Yeah,
that's true.
And everything that when the tornado's going up, all like the gags through the window feels so like, we're going to have some gags here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's vibrato. To me. We're going to have some fun. This isn't so scary.
This is a 100.
A 100? The fact that there are exotic birds in an apple orchard feels vibrato to me.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm also going to go 100.
100, and I too will give it 100, tying it with the apple.
Okay.
And the Sound of Music and vibrato. The three titans of vibrato.
Titans of musical theater.
All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in this?
There's a lot of footwork.
I mean, it's iconic.
So much Munchkin marching.
All the Munchkin marching, all the dancing, the ruby slippers.
I do think it's every time she like shows them off, it's kind of like, oh, these old things. Oh, you're interested in these? Oh.
I'm not sure if I'm going to keep them or not. What do you think?
And the fact that you click your heels to go home.
Definitely.
That's footwork.
Yeah. The whole plot is a linchpin of footwork at the very end.
It's a linchpin of footwork. Definitely. I think that was on the poster.
Yeah. It's one of their taglines.
Yeah. And they dance, you know, there's a lot, like she's dancing in heels a lot. The Scarecrow does a lot of fancy floppy footwork. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? The Tin Man does a little sort of like soft shoe
cappuccino. I like when he toots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You love a toot.
I love a toot. Oh, do we wish the Scarecrow dance sequence was longer?
Well, it was. I'm sure you've seen the extended
footage.
But
do you wish it was like in the movie like that? Or are you good how it is? I'm good how it is.
I've never seen the extended version.
I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the few movies I do have on Blu-ray, and it is a three-disc set. I know.
It's one of those discs of DVD, though.
What?
It's one of those discs of DVD.
No, it is like one disc that is the movie with extras and then two extra discs of just more stuff and more like documentaries and this and that. And it has everything that has been cut you can find on these discs.
Somebody at MGM is going, we need something for the 100th anniversary. Yeah. Find me something. Of trivia.
We need to squeeze more money off of these Wizard of Oz fans.
Include that Under the Rainbow movie as a bonus feature.
I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, like the extended dance sequence is like another 45 seconds, but it is a little overlong. You don't miss it. I'll say
we get it.
Yeah, I think it's fine as it is.
It's fine as it is. So Billy's giving it 100 in footwork. John,
I will also give it 100.
100. Yeah, I think you're gonna get 100. Like, is the dancing like mind blowing? No, but there's just so much choreography in the whole thing.
Exactly.
those munchkins. I mean, who wrangled them? So many people.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, spank bank deposits. Anything in the Wizard of Oz you're going to up? I'll remember that for later.
This is another tough one.
This is a tough one.
So John will probably give it 22. Yeah, I don't think there's anything. It's not that kind of movie.
I guess it depends on what you like. If you like furries.
Yeah, I could see that being a little bit into the Cowardly Lion. That's like the closest. Maybe if you're like a guy in uniform, you like those Winkies, those weird guys.
They were like, is any of this explained in like Wicked?
The Winkies? I don't think
so. Yeah, no. Or the Flying Monkeys.
I think in Wicked, I've only seen it once. She like talks to animals, and there are a lot of animals who were like transition, like who were like half human, half animal, who sort of became more animal, and she was like friends with a lot of them. So I think that is a little bit. But as for all of those weird like henchmen that she has, which are called the Winkies, I don't think so. But I'm sure in the original book they're explained more.
So what do you want to give this for spank bank deposits? We've really named nothing.
Yeah.
I'll go 10.
10.
I'll go 10 as well.
Wow, this is like insane to me. I'm giving it a 0. There's nothing. Nothing. At least the Sound of Music, you have like Rolf. You gave that a 5. This is twice as much.
Yeah. Well, Rolf was a Nazi. I'm not jerking off to a Nazi.
The captain, though.
Sure.
There's things hotter than the captain. What's hotter than the captain in Sound of Music in The Wizard of Oz?
In The Wizard of Oz? Let me see.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Compelling argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Finally, Billy, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Wizard of Oz to a gay person?
I can't imagine a gay person who hasn't already seen this movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like, what is the characteristic of a person who'd be like, oh, The Wizard of what? But I watched this movie with my friends Laura and Miranda, and we were talking about how it holds up better from childhood than we thought it would. Like, I hadn't seen this movie in probably 20 years.
Oh. Right.
And it does. It's like, oh no, this is worth watching. Like, it's a genuinely good movie. It is wrapped up with that like childhood nostalgia, that everything sort of feels like a dream you're just remembering.
Right.
But it's good, and it'll entertain you, and it's not too long. I think this is a 100.
There's always scenes, like I always forget about like Professor Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I always forget about the spa sequence.
Yeah.
But there are scenes that I've just like, you know, you never forget the Twister, you know, you never forget
right.
Munchkin Land.
Sure, sure.
City.
Definitely. No, Munchkin Land is correct.
So 100.
John. Yeah, I'd also give it 100. I can't, if someone says to me they haven't seen it, I'm like, you have to see it for the reference. Even if you would think it was corny, it's like, but you still need to see this. This
it's
is
also not
an
corny.
Essential text.
Yeah.
It's not. And also like rewatching again, I was like, it was funny because we watched The Sound of Music the week before, which was almost 3 hours. And this, when I saw the running time was an hour 45, I was like, oh, in my head, it was like the same thing. And I'm sure when they showed it on TV, it probably was 3 hours with all the commercial
right,
interruptions.
Right,
but it does move at a pretty quick pace.
Yeah, she's like, you know, in Oz in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, in less than that. They almost cut, I'm sure you've read this, but they almost cut Somewhere Over the Rainbow because they thought she was in Kansas for too long, which could you imagine?
It plods. All right, someone's over that song. Okay, now we are into the wheel categories.
So did you give it 100, Mark?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, well, I was okay. Gonna say, I would just say like, gay people, don't read, this is your essential text, forget the Bible.
Yeah.
Watch The Wizard of Oz. This is like, well, this is myth for gay people, like, mm-hmm. Essentially.
Definitely. Great. So the wheel. So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. I've put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone, and we're going to spin it 4 times. Whatever categories randomly pop up is how we will judge it. And then after that, you will come up with the category, which we will add to the wheel.
Okay. I should say The Wizard of Oz is tied at 100 with the apple and likely to recommend to a gay person.
Okay. I think you got pretty lucky with this one. A feel song.
A feel song. OEO.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, I mean Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's Judy Garland's signature song. It is tops everyone's like list of like best songs in movies.
It won
Better than
Oscar,
Shallow?
Won the Oscar. Yes. More than Shallow, yes.
More than Try Everything from Zootopia. I don't know.
I guess.
I think I've played Try Everything more than Over the Rainbow, though.
Well, that's your fault.
This is my fault. More than The Rainbow Connection?
I'm just asking.
The Rainbow Connection was was inspired by Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So yeah.
Yeah, but I like Rainbow Connection more, if I'm being honest. Is that terrible?
Well,
I'm being naughty. What do you want to give this for? A feel song.
This is a 100.
100.
Yeah, I got to go 100 as well.
I'll go 99. No, I'll go 100. I mean, it's not like I don't have it on a playlist or anything, but I've never chosen to listen to it, I would say. But I like
but
it.
But you do. You knew it. I think it is a beautiful song, and you acknowledge like
of
that.
Of course.
Goodness, yeah.
I do love how like just when she's singing it, Toto just like doesn't care. He's just looking at his off-screen trainer the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, the dog is just like, what's going on?
What?
All right, here we go. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Oh, what a dream.
I mean, yeah.
Tons of teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
It does.
I think how they, you know, the whole point is like, let's build this really great team and then we'll be there for each other and rely on each other's strengths to overcome this big obstacle in our lives.
And the Munchkins have teamwork. They have leagues, they have guilds.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a ton of coordinated activity in the Emerald City.
True.
Like a lot of people who know exactly what to do and how to do it in like spontaneous parades because people are here.
Yeah. Not a lot of people come through the Emerald City, I guess. Maybe in Oz, the Emerald City is like a small town. So they get excited when people show up.
I feel like it's the DC of Oz, though, wouldn't you say? It's where the White House is, where the wizard is.
We don't know.
And the monkeys also have teamwork. They work as a team to kidnap Dorothy and Toto.
Yeah. And those...
the Winkies.
Winkies.
Yes. In case this movie wasn't gay enough, let's call the henchmen Winkies. Right.
They'll get it.
If you know, you know. We'll just say that when it comes to the Winkies.
So what do you want to give this for? Teamwork.
This is 100.
100. Eat shit,
I'll go 100. I'll go 100 as well.
I don't know. To me, it's like... It's not like a sports movie, but I'll go like...
Teams exist outside of sports.
Come on,
not
Mark.
In my book. I'm a big NBA fan.
He's real binary when it comes
go
to
Raptors.
Sports.
But it is they form a team. That is like kind of the whole arc of the movie. They like form a... And I said Chosen Family earlier, so who needs Auntie Emma and Uncle What's-His-Face?
Henry.
Yeah. What does he do to anything? They just let Gulch take Toto? I was outraged.
She has that thing from the mayor, the sheriff.
No. It's not. If that was my niece, the sheriff himself needs to be here. And even then, let's have some humanity.
Then they would have been in Kansas so much longer, Mark. It just would have been so much sepia.
I'm saying Aunt May would have, that's also made me think of like, where are Dorothy's parents? It's almost like, because we've been doing the Spider-Man movies, like, oh, it's almost like she's almost like a Peter Parker-esque kind of arc.
Yeah. It seems like she's been raised by Aunt Em and Uncle Henry.
Right.
Right. What, probably like tuberculosis or something killed him.
That was the 30s.
All right. Next category.
What did you give for teamwork?
100.
Okay. You're yelling.
Have you seen Hoosiers, Billy?
You know, I've only listened to the Two Old Queens episode.
Fair enough. You got it.
Okay, here we go. Makeover montage.
Makeover montage. Well, they get like the spa day, but it's not like
Mario Land of Oz. It's iconic.
It's a total makeover montage
for four of them, all of them.
It's not with technically a montage though, because the camera's panning
about?
In one shot. A montage would be edits. That's what a montage is.
It starts with
there's
them like
makeover.
Getting in there.
There's definitely
and
a makeover.
There's
it's one long tracking shot.
And there's
in the
a whole
spa.
Lot of things.
We're just talking about the spa is where the makeover happens, but that is not
whole
technically
number
a montage.
Is part of the montage.
Yes,
no,
that is not,
the whole number is.
It doesn't happen once it's in the spa.
It was 1939. They didn't know about shopping malls yet. That was as close as they could.
Yeah, I'm sorry, girls just want to have fun isn't playing underneath this whole number, Mark.
You should be.
Yes.
To a lesser extent, there's also the makeover montage in the tornado when Mrs. Gulch becomes the Wicked Witch.
That's true.
But it is one shot. It's not technically a montage.
Mm-hmm.
There is makeover. I'm not saying it's zero. You know, don't hurl a fireball at me. There's definitely makeovers. Don't get me wrong.
I'm going to say 95.
95.
Yeah, I'll go 95 as well.
95. I'll go 60. There's a makeover. But is that a montage? Wheel category number 4.
Okay. From Mean Girls, how rainbow bright is it?
How rainbow bright is it?
I think it's very much, but I don't know what that means.
It's just like how bright and colorful.
Colorful, candy colored. Yeah.
I mean, of course, it's 100. How do you? It's somewhere over the rainbow bright. It's perfect.
That's true.
It's everything. The Munchkin Land, the Emerald City, the horse of a different color. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah. I there's very little. I feel like this movie almost invented Technicolor. It didn't, but it feels like it did. I gotta go 100 as well. It's just
yeah,
so.
You gotta
it's
go
all 100. About it.
It's 100. All right, Billy, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge how gay Wizard of Oz is, and then every subsequent movie, because we'll throw it on the wheel.
So in addition to you submitting Wizard of Oz, two other listeners also submitted Wizard of Oz. And so we asked them to pitch us what their bonus categories would be, just to sort of throw them out there to be part of the conversation. You know what I mean? If you like those, you can choose one of them. So we have, this first one is from David Struger.
Dream sequence. The whole movie is a dream sequence. I personally think Dorothy's journey being all in her head is a cheap shot and a bad twist on the original book. But if it gives me more points, I'm taking it.
So there's that one. And then the other submission we had was from Liam Garvin. And he actually submitted a couple we'll hear right now.
In terms of category, I would add to the wheel. First thought was something along the lines of Troubled Child Star. But that's kind of outside the confines of the movie and kind of mean. So I'd also suggest something that's basically just vengeance or revenge or getting even, which I don't think is on the wheel yet. And yeah, that's basically the Wicked Witch of the West driving force throughout the whole movie.
These are all very good.
So yeah, so we've got just as part of the mix, but how about you, Billy? What are you thinking?
So I like a couple of those. The one
not
that
all,
I
had, but
wow,
shade.
That's shade.
I didn't mean it like that. Anyway, I said what I said. What I was thinking about coming into this was, could it turn a child gay? Like, if a child watches this movie, are they more likely to be gay?
The Neverland quotient.
Yeah, and because the movie did it for me, so maybe I'm just a little too caught up in my
grooming?
Own personal biography.
Is this good for grooming?
That's more problematic than I wanted to
I
go.
Would say
how about
so.
Rather than turning a child gay, activating your gayness.
Gay perfect. Gene activated? Gay
the way
gene,
that you're just
gay
like,
gene activated.
The
I
way
that
you're
that.
Like,
gay
before you
resonates?
Are, sure. Before you know, you're just like, wait a minute, this is something.
This is on my wavelength.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to go with.
That's great.
I like that. So what are we calling this?
I said gay antenna wavelength.
Gay antenna.
Does it set
activated?
Off your gay antenna?
Does it set off your gay antenna?
That's perfect. And for me, this is 100, but that's, you know, my own personal experience.
Absolutely.
Lots of rainbows, lots of being
exactly.
yourself. Lots
who's
of
this Judy Garland? Who's this Wicked Witch of the West? Yeah, I'll have to go 100 as well. I think it's pretty classic.
But see, I don't think I saw this until I was like 9 or 10. And I'd already seen
And you had
I
how
had
many
seen
relationships
Han Solo,
at that point.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I had seen, you know. I had seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I think, by then.
Oh, a you classic know. Gay movie, of course. Yeah.
Indiana Jones shirtless, when he's finally shirtless in that movie. That's an eye opener to a child.
Sure. So it's that set off your gay antenna.
That set
sure.
off. So that but I think, yeah, if your child but does not loving it make, I don't know. I'll say 99 just for safety's sake. Now we're into the bonus category.
These categories are just bonus. So instead of 0 to 100, it's 0 to 10. And so if it doesn't score well in the bonus, it's not going to penalize it or work against it. These are just extra points that the movie can get from this.
It's going to be fine. So the first one, how would you rate The Wizard of Oz on musical potential? Could it be a musical?
Well, given that it is a musical and that it subsequently inspired two additional musicals,
that's
I would
true.
Say
that's
this,
true.
Is a 10. This is a 10.
Yeah, this is also a 10 for me. It's,
are they still doing it on stage?
Wizard of Oz? Yeah, 100%.
Like
yeah,
on Broadway, like a big Broadway version.
I mean, it hasn't been literally on Broadway in a while, but yeah, people do it all the time.
Probably need to get a slab attached.
Probably helps.
That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Roseanne Barr played the Wicked Witch of the West 1 year. They used to do it at like Madison Square Garden occasionally.
Stunt
she
casting.
Was the Wicked Witch of the West. Sure. Why not? It's you pretty know,
like
easy.
At the bowl, they have like Rebel Wilson as Ursula, and everyone's like, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure. All right. Yeah. It's not permanent. It's fine.
Just the bowl. It's okay.
We're just watching. We're having wine. It's fine.
Look, there's Rebel Wilson. Speaking of, what you give The Wizard of Oz in Queer Menace?
Would you say there's something kind of like family about the Wicked Witch?
I think
I would say more about Elmira Gulch than the witch.
Oh, yeah.
Comes off as more of like a Queer Menace to me than the Wicked Witch.
Yeah,
sure, sure.
John did say he thinks the flying monkeys maybe fly both ways.
You know monkeys.
They're animals.
What, I don't. You guys go first. I'm not sure what I think about this.
That's one. Okay. Yeah, what do you think, John?
I think there's something about the Wicked Witch of the West. I agree. Like, there's, I mean, she is the menace.
Well, the talk of sisters.
Talk of sisters. The fact that it's all about these ruby red slippers.
But is that queer for a woman to like want ruby red slippers?
Well, ruby red slippers are pretty queer.
If they're ruby red for a woman, though, like, you know what I mean? Like, if they're ruby red
women
Birkenstocks,
do not have ruby red.
Then we have something.
Sure. Then I'm not leaving my tent. Yeah, it's not like huge, huge, but I'll give it a four.
A four. I'll give it a three.
I'll give it a four.
A four, giving it a 3.67. All right, our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, Margaret Hamilton.
Margaret Hamilton.
Margaret Hamilton. I mean, what a swing.
I do wonder. I'm like, I don't know the history of witches on film, unfortunately, but like... Uh-huh. Was this is like she's such like a Halloween like you know clip art of a witch, you know what I mean? Like if you
but
Google
I think she
witch,
like set like the, that yeah
yeah did she say or was that already like known in the time like that you know the pointy hat the green skin, cape? It must have been, I would think.
Well, I mean I don't know how much of this is in the books. It must have been somewhat in the book of her having green skin.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that they also had to eat. She took such a big swing that they had to cut a bunch of her stuff because right. They thought it would be too frightening for children.
Right. And in
that's
fact,
the stuff I want to see.
And then like later, she went on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to be like, witches are people too, because children would see her and just like for the rest of her life, children were terrified of her. Like, wow. That's a big swing. She made a big choice that has reverberated through the ages.
For better or worse, for her life, for her daily life. Mm-hmm. And also, I think whatever Glinda is doing, she's a total lunatic.
Absolutely. She's definitely smoking something in that bubble.
She is, yeah. She's hotboxing.
I also like how the Wicked Witch, as she's dying in a pit of water and smoke, yells, "What a world!" Like this? That is just something yeah. That is something else. And I love yeah. It. So this is a 10.
A 10.
Yeah, I'll go 10 as well. I think it's up there.
Yeah, it's pretty big swig. It could have been shrill, but she sells it. She has actual menace. She and speaking does. Of, how would you rate this in witches?
I mean, do we have to talk about it?
We don't.
We got
could.
Three, really.
Yeah, right? We got the witches, the crystal balls, the mortar and pestles, even have a fortune teller in Kansas. This is a 10.
Right?
Yeah, you got to go 10. We got the east, the west, and the north.
Sorry, south. I'll also give it a 10, but I do wish the Wicked Witch was more effective. I think maybe she has a fear of success.
She is her own worst enemy.
As we all are. You know?
Yeah. She could have benefited
her own saboteur. Therapy.
What would she ask the wizard for? I wonder, probably those slippers.
Probably, yeah.
All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Silence, so probably John will give it an 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there had, again, just odds
had
of numbers. In the Munchkin village, there had to be some folks in addition.
And he's like whispering to his, I'm playing this Munchkin as gay.
I'm playing it as a bottom. Right.
We know. As if he had a choice.
And at Emerald City 2, I'll say 1.5.
1.5. Very democratic.
Yeah, I'll go 1.
A 1. I gotta go 0. Same thing I gave Eat, Pray, Love. So
okay.
Give it a 0.83. All right, next category. Themes of mothers. Well, there's like Auntie M, and Glinda is kind of like motherly, she's but mother she doesn't figurally. Really do much. She's very aloof.
Yeah, but
well, has to let Dorothy learn the lesson. Something sort of motherly about that, I guess.
I'll let you fail and be terrified and be traumatized.
It wasn't fail. It was just like, I could tell you this, but it's not going to mean as much as if you learn.
I'll let you get captured by the monkeys. But sleep in the poppies.
But she helped them.
But drugs?
Them
no way.
Yeah, no, no, no.
No way.
You need help with that.
No kid of mine.
I also think that really Auntie M is Dorothy's mom. Like, who knows what happened to her parents, but the fact that the whole second half of the movie, she's crying, thinking about Auntie M and Uncle Henry, who cares? Auntie M is who I need to go back and see. And she sees her in the crystal ball. There's that weird scene where the gatekeeper listens to Dorothy and then has a very wet cry. The wettest cry, saying, "I also was like, I could think of..." Anyway, the whole thing, the whole thing is about returning to her mom, in addition to having a fairy godmother.
But I do think that is more of just like a MacGuffin. You know, I mean, it's not really about the mother-daughter relationship. It's more just like a goal.
I agree.
So what do you want to give it for Thieves of Mothers?
I'm going to say 9.
A 9!
I mean, it's very mother-themed.
I'm going to go 1.
Why, John? The drugs wore off.
Oh, I could do more. Do you want me to do more? No, sounds like you want me to do some more.
I'm going to give it a 2. Love Auntie M. Give an average of 4. All right, next category, pearl clutching. How many people are morally scandalized? I do think Mrs. Gulch is by Toto. She's very threatened by this, because I think Toto sees through her bullshit.
And Toto Mrs. Gulch is also pearl clutching when Dorothy yells at her, and then when Auntie M yells at her.
Right. Well, I never. She almost says something.
As a Christian woman, I can't.
Like, that's just as bad as telling her, like, fuck off. You know? We know what
you
she
can
meant.
Imagine. Just whatever bad thing you're imagining, I would say. That's it.
I think all the Munchkins must have, like, clutched their pearls and run into hiding when the house landed. And they had to be told, like, no, come out, it's fine.
Off screen pearl clutching?
Exactly, yeah.
Well,
we feel the reverberations of it.
Similarly, when Dorothy finds out that she killed the Wicked Witch of the East, she's also like, oh no, what happened?
That's true. I'm not a witch at all.
A real Laura Bush having a DUI moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to give this for pearl clutching?
And then just one more.
Oh, yeah, please.
Let's hear it.
That they, when the Wicked Witch first appears, Dorothy's also like, you know, in the puff of smoke, totally shocked, some pearl clutching. I would say this is a 7.
A 7?
Also when the Wicked Witch does surrender Dorothy in the sky and everyone in Emerald City is like, buzz, buzz, what's this? What's happening?
7.5. 7.5.
7.5.
I'll go 7.5 as well.
7.5. I gotta go 5. But there's not a ton of it. Giving it a 6.67. All right, last of the bonus categories, quips. How quippy is The Wizard of Oz?
It was quippier than I thought it would be. It's not Clue.
There's very like 30s cart, like, reminded me of like old like Looney Tunes jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I hope your tail holds out, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like just like gags.
Sure. I mean, you have no power here, be gone before someone drops a house on you too. That's kind of, you could still say that at a brunch.
And some of the quips are not funny anymore because they have become such a part of our normal language. Like, Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's a quip, but it's just so, it's a cliche now, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Is another quip that has become
part of the vocabulary, the vernacular.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Dorothy, after Glinda leaves, you know, Glinda arrives and leaves, the witch, the other witch, Dorothy says, "My, people come and go so quickly here."
Funny.
Yeah.
Meta almost.
Yeah.
And there's the thing when Scarecrow has been like decimated by the flying monkeys, that's you all over. And then they sure knock the stuffing out of you. Yeah.
Did you do a pass of the script, Mark?
I did. I'm very old.
When the wizard is talking to the Tin Man and to the Scarecrow, he says, "You clinking, clacking collection of collisionist junk and you billowing bale of bulbing fodder." Like that's some quips.
Right?
That's some quips. The one, my favorite line from the whole movie, and it's one I think I've realized, like, I just say a lot.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just by myself. I'll just have a little fire, Scarecrow. I say like Edward G. Robinson for whatever reason, but that's how it's morphed.
Jumping on a cigar. Right? Yeah.
Flicking a cigarette at him. So we want to give this for quips.
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8.
I'll go 6.
6. Yeah, I'm also going to go 6. Giving it a 6.67. All right, now we are into the, that's it for the bonus categories. Now we are into the iconic category.
So now we're going back to 0 to 100. These are larger, sort of broader categories.
And again, 0 to 100.
So the first one, how would you rate The Wizard of Oz in 0 to 100 in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is The Wizard of Oz?
Well,
be honest.
The Scarecrow does say some people here go both ways.
There you go. Nice.
That, is that homoerotic or homo reference?
Well, he's sort of allowing that, sort of saying, little. Like, we could do this as...
You're grasping at straw, would you say?
Oh, I go, sure Mark. Am.
Well done, well played, still got it.
The makeover montage, which was a
That's
montage.
That's not a montage.
The this men montage. Are buffing mm-hmm. and stuffing the Tin Man and the Scarecrow.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is homoerotic is when the three male characters are waiting outside the castle and then they end up tussling with those sure. guards and somehow they end up naked behind that and they take their clothes and then they're suddenly wearing somebody else's clothes. Like there's something yeah. homoerotic the implication. About that.
Yeah.
And that's more than I came up with. I didn't have anything for this. So, so what do you want to give it for homoeroticism?
I'm going to give it a 20.
20.
I'll go 9.
Yeah, I'll go 8. Given an average of 12.33, which is like 9.33 points higher than The Sound of Music.
Okay.
All right. All right. Next one. Over the top wardrobe. Is there over the top wardrobe?
There's nothing that's not over the top.
There's nothing that's not over yeah. the top.
I mean, there's the flying monkeys have little smart little jackets. Like they're also caterers.
I read that the cowardly lion's outfit was actual lion skin.
Yeah, there's some actual lion skin in that. Isn't that crazy?
And it weighed like 90 pounds. And because in order to do the Technicolor on the set, they had to have the temperature at like 90 or 100 degrees. So there were two people whose job it was overnight to dry out the costume of his sweat so that it would be ready the next day.
That's disgusting.
Am I losing points here for over
the
time?
No. I love that. Gross this is. I was just thinking like, oh, back to like the working conditions were like so terrible, but like... You do a move. I guess they were contract players. So like they still had to work after this.
Right.
It's not like $1 million paycheck. Like, well, I'm just coasting on The Wizard of Oz. Like those residuals might dried up by the 70s.
I don't know that they even got residuals.
Probably not if you're a contract player, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's even like the Kansas stuff is like wild.
Yeah. The Munchkins have flowers in their hair, like literal flowers
going
growing
to
out
San Francisco.
Out of their shoes. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone in Munchkin land, the witches, the monkeys.
What do you think about those one Munchkins like in the eggs? I was like, are those like how Munchkins are born? Like, are they like,
I guess so.
Laid in
they're
egg?
Hatched,
but those eggs are huge. Like where are they?
Who knows?
And it just seemed like they were waking up. That might just be their bed.
Ugh.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe they're born and then they are put, much like a caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Would you, watching this, would you want to live in Munchkinville?
Munchkinland.
To me, it seems like.
It seems like a lot.
You'd be like, I get it, 5 minutes. Like, okay, we pass through, you know.
You get a headache from all the bright colors.
Yeah, it's like, this is a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's not clear to me if the Munchkins can speak without vibrato. So eventually, just like, just have a conversation with me.
Right. How's your mom? Yeah, I heard about your club. It sounds great.
No, I don't want to be a member of your guild.
So what do you want to give this for over-the-top wardrobe?
This is a 100.
100.
Yeah, I got to go 100.
I, too, am going to give it 100. Tying it with the apple.
Okay.
All right. The last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is The Wizard of Oz?
I mean, we've got singing lion, a dancing tin man, flying monkeys, two women fighting over shoes.
Encountering sure. a fortune teller 10 minutes after you run away from home.
That's lucky.
I mean, it's
standing in front of a window in a tornado. Yeah. An entire village of plastic plants. Why are they all plastic? What's happening in Munchkinville?
They're weird, I'm telling you. Munchkinville's like they're like secret freaks.
They also
think it's that secret.
They also to hide from the Wicked Witch of the West, most of them just laid down on the ground where they were. That's camp.
Forgot, like I was like, did they just die?
No, they just laid
like,
down
obliterated. Like they're
maybe
only defense.
Maybe that was part of her spell was to have everyone be frozen.
I see.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? We don't know what their actor's secret was in that moment.
The whole setting an hourglass and then saying, this is when you're going to die, and then leaving the room, to your point of the witch is not very effective, but that's also pretty camp.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's very like Batman, the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Also is having a bucket of water just laying around your castle when that's one of the few things that can kill you.
Right.
True. Having a whole bunch of people who work for you who are excited when you die.
I'm like that with bags of Ruffles. I shouldn't have these around the house. These will kill me.
This is going to kill me. What a world.
There's also something camp about the wizard putting three people he just met in charge of his entire kingdom as he leaves on a hot air balloon.
Right. I wonder if those are like the 12th people that day he's like sent off. Go get the broom.
Yeah.
And like just sending them to their deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, traveling by bubble.
That's campy. Never resolving the original conflict of the movie. Like, yeah, Dorothy survived the tornado, but Mrs. Gulch is still going to try to kill Toto.
This is true.
We'll see about that.
Maybe Mrs. Gulch died in the tornado.
Makes
sense.
We can only hope. Well, I got a quick list of campy things. Here we go. Farm animals on a soundstage. A mean old lady riding a bicycle. A head injury leading you to a wonderful adventure. I'm sorry, but the munchkins hiding in the plants are nasty. A joyous song about Dorothy committing manslaughter. Is the Munchkin City's main industry pageantry? Glinda smiling her brains out as the Wicked Witch threatens to kill Dorothy. I get the sense Munchkin City is awash in bureaucracy, what with all the guilds and leagues. The Scarecrow has the audacity to complain about being stuck all day with a pole up his back. Ironic that the people of Emerald City are all lily white. Getting your destination and immediately going to the day spa, threatening skywriting. The wizard's guard losing his shit over Dorothy's sob story, an hourglass filled with magenta sand. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. What is this, a stage manager's lament? If the wizard was hosting RuPaul's Drag Race, he'd end every episode with, remember, it's not how much you love, but how much you are loved. Can I get an amen up in here? Nope. Okay. Let the music play. Who goes to a fake wizard's going away ceremony and decides to bring their cat? I knew a nice pair of shoes could be transportive, but this is ridiculous. And finally, a dog getting screen credit. So I think it's fairly campy. So what do you want to give this for camp factor?
100.
100.
Yeah, I got to go 100 as well.
100. Yeah, I guess so, right? It's 100. It's wild.
It's wild.
Finally, we're into the crown jewel.
So these categories, we don't rate, we just agree. It either gets it or it doesn't.
So the first one, a 15% bonus point for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does it have it?
I mean, it's tough because I think it doesn't really portray homosexuality.
It's such
an iconic gay text, though.
But we tend to only do it when it's literal, when there are actually gay people.
I understand that.
This is our 100th, this is our centennial, though.
So we bend the rules? Is this what we're saying?
I mean, there's a whole message about these potentially gay-coded characters, especially the lion.
This is true.
These other lions were telling you that you were wrong and you weren't tough enough, but like, no, everything you need is right inside you and you're special for who you are. I think there is definitely something to that.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely like, there's something about the fact that like, it is such an iconic text that feels like it is about like believing in yourself. You have the power. You know what I mean? Like you don't need it. I don't know.
You don't know.
I just feel like I see the argument and I will admit I want to give it to it, but I also understand that there are no actual characters say they're homosexual. So in that way, it's tough.
Sure. I did call it the gay Bible. So
right.
I do think it does get it.
All right. I'm not upset with that. I will go with yes.
John,
well.
Not upset about something? This is a rare twist of fate.
I don't think I'm the one who gets angry about things.
Lies. Let the record show.
I think the record does show.
I vote yes too.
Okay. So it gets
alrighty.
It.
Alrighty.
And finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, we're done.
All right. So Billy, now that we have been through it, how do you think the movie has done? I think the wheel was definitely on your side with this one.
The wheel was kind to us.
The good witches were with us.
Yeah. I think it did really well. It's going to be certainly top five, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think it's landing in the top five.
All right. Well, I will tell you exactly how it did out of a total possible 3,108.77. The Wizard of Oz has scored 2,767.77, giving it a percentage of 89.03, making it the fifth gayest movie ever. Not as gay as The Apple, but gayer than Death Becomes Her.
Very nice.
There you go.
Very nice. All top right. five. We did it.
You did it. You came in with a goal, and I feel like you've accomplished it.
You have sure definitely did. Accomplished it.
It's
congratulations.
Gayer than Clue. It's gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah, take that. Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah. No one's clanging that trolley.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I'm glad
this
we did
so
this.
This is so great.
Thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much, Billy. This was delightful.
Great guests. Great movie. Great choice.
Great
choices.
Essay.
Great essay. And thank you for listening and coming up with a bingo game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, actually, yeah. So I'm on the board of an organization in DC called SMILE. We work with LGBT youth in the region, supporting them, empowering them and supporting them across all aspects of their life and school, home, and beyond. We're also the largest provider of transitional housing for homeless LGBT youth. So if you're interested in supporting a good cause, check out smile.org.
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 We will put the links in our show notes for that. Definitely.
Thank you.
They got a Twitter handle?
They do. I think it's SmileDC.
Great. I'll include
all right,
that
we'll
as
get
well.
All of that in there.
Well, thanks so much, Billy. You're a total delight. Billy, you do sound like a musical in the best way.
You do.
And well, not like a funny girl.
One of the good musicals.
One of the good ones.
Yeah, all you right. sound like a Little Shop of Horrors.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. We're back.
Fun.
That was so much fun.
What a great
100
guest.
Episodes.
100
episodes.
Can you believe it?
I barely believe it.
Remember Did you those? Think it would ever happen?
They said we'd never last. It is funny thinking back because the first couple episodes we did in a little studio in downtown LA.
This is true.
We should give a special shout out to Alex Arche, who is our original producer.
Absolutely.
Did a wonderful job getting us started.
Yeah, it's been it's really crept up on me. 100 episodes. I feel like that's a big accomplishment. That's like not even including the Patreon.
That's true. With Patreon, it's
I'm proud of us. Well,
I think we've done a great job. Good for us.
It's been fun.
Think of how different the world has been in that time.
Yeah, like I can't remember. Like I don't if like would you be able to like okay write all 100 movies we've done.
Would no, you? I couldn't. There are, in fact, times where I'm like, oh, we should have that person on the podcast. And I'll be like, oh, wait, they've been on it.
Yeah, that was your mother.
I know. We still need to get her on, though.
She's still nagging you. Yeah, but it's been a very great experience. And we're going to keep doing it. There's
we're
no
keep
signs
doing it
of stopping. Nothing else to do.
Yeah, neither of us are blowing up. So it's not like we got something else going on. Yeah, but it has been a lot of fun. It has definitely affected the way I watch all things movies and TV shows. Like if ever I see someone riding a scooter, I'm like, oh, that. And then I'm like,
that
was not about anything. Yeah.
I do think the one thing I learned, like you really, it's the three iconic categories. You really need to nail. If this Wizard of Oz had more actual homoeroticism, it'd be number one.
Just any homoeroticism. Yeah. Exactly.
Any homo. It just doesn't.
I agree.
It's definitely campy and visually wonderful. Crazy.
Indeed.
And so the Apple is gayer than the Wizard of Oz.
In some ways, sure, yes.
According to the spreadsheet, it is.
That's true. According to the math, that's right. And it's not one of the ones that we can say, because some of these early on, before we adjusted the system, we could, not that we're going to, but a case could be made for going back to revisiting some of those earlier movies.
Like a Showgirls, perhaps.
The Showgirls would be one. I think that would definitely score higher.
I feel like that's the main one.
Definitely.
The main outlier. But yeah.
I think also Meet Me in St. Louis would actually probably do better.
Maybe.
You know, that felt category really felled a lot of movies for a while.
Sure. But an icon, nonetheless.
True, indeed.
Well, John, it's been a real pleasure doing this with you.
It has been a delight doing it with you. Sometimes against you, but mostly with you. Yes, of course.
You know, I'm just passionate.
You are. You are. That's what's that people love it. People love
passion.
People
can't see that when I'm outraged, I'm smiling.
I think they feel it though. I think they can tell.
It's all done. It's done with a wink.
Absolutely.
But no, it's been a lot of fun. I never thought we would get to 100. I never even crossed my mind, but you know.
Right. You're like, we're going to be dead soon anyway. It doesn't matter.
Right. Got these wildfires now. But it's been so great. All the listeners have been
so
amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. So much for listening and emailing us and participating.
Such a positive community of listeners. Exactly. Too. Everyone's so kind and sweet and funny.
So thanks to everyone who submitted. We were so surprised and overwhelmed at the number of people who submitted movies. We really did not. We were like, I guess we'll do this. Who knows?
But we had to make another spreadsheet just to collate all the essays.
Exactly.
And it was not an easy decision. But I do think we'll have, you know, some of these people will come on the show.
I think so. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fun. So we might revisit this as an idea for an episode in the future.
Maybe, but people probably wouldn't be into that.
Well, let us know. You can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know if we got anything wrong, if you have any other ideas for movies or ideas for stuff we could, other ideas for episodes. We love hearing from you guys. We really appreciate it. Also, if you get a chance, if you could go on iTunes and rate and give it 5 stars and review, it helps with the algorithm. It helps people, other people find the podcast. We really appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twooldqueens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, and also we have merch, another fun way you can support the podcast. If you go over to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, we've got a lot of fun images and stuff there. You can get on all kinds of things, t-shirts, sweatshirts, pillows, notebooks, tote bags, masks, onesies, all great stuff. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
That's what we're all about.
And finally, we have a Patreon as well. So if you want even more of this in your life, go over to Two Old Queens. The Retirement Plan is the name of our Patreon, where we do different series and fun stuff. Right now, we're going through all the different Spider-Man movies to figure out what's the gayest one of all of those.
Absolutely. And what are we doing next week? We have no idea.
We don't know yet.
It'll be fun, though. It'll be fine. Relax.
I love how you imagine our listeners are yelling at right now.
I've never been attacked yet. I'm always defensive. But thank you. Thank you so much.
We
do this because people seem to like it. And we like it too. But that, you
that's
know,
true. Yeah.
There's confirmation bias, I guess. Is that what that is? Yeah. Probably not.
Not quite, but close.
Sure. But thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Here's to another 100.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Say it, John. John, I love you.
Mark,
can you say it?
I love you. Absolutely.
I edit that in, I'm sure. You didn't really say it.
I'll sing it. I love you.
Now it feels like it's about you. And
okay.
Singing.
All right. All that vibrato.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody.
Goodbye.
So love the show. Keep it up. Great work. Hopefully we get to 100 more.
Thanks for 100 episodes of Gay Mirth and Sass. I wish you at least 100 more, and I hope we can all gather together at a live episode one day soon. Until then, goodbye. I totally nailed that.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.